Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by Hagen Oaks, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome into the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, everyone. I'm Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh, and this is the time period where we talk about golf. We love to talk about golf, and we hope you enjoy listening as much as we enjoy bringing these guests to you. Scott, how you been today?
Doing fantastic. You know, Frank, we're so lucky because this time frame right now, we're early October. It's really the best weather for golf in this area. It's the absolute best time to get out and play.
Ken Senior from Hagen Oaks and I were talking about the fall, especially, and how much I enjoyed it. And he said, you know, I really look forward to the new colors and spring and all. He says, but you're absolutely right. Fall is the best time to play. We have the kind of weather that's really temperate, and I'm looking forward to getting out this weekend.
Yeah, me as well.
We have a packed show again, as always. Larry Glassmeyer from the Sacramento Golf Council. We'll be up first to talk about what the Sacramento Golf Council means to golf in our area, in Northern California as well, and to tell us about the first ever, hard to believe, this is a really old organization, but this is the first time they've awarded Player of the Year awards, and they ordered gave four awards this past Monday, and it's really exciting to see the growth of golf and the accomplishments of these people.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And then anytime you have a Sutherland involved, you know the caliber of the golf that's being played too.
Absolutely. We're going to have two of the winners on the show following Larry as well. Sienna Lyford, who's playing at Sacramento State right now, won the Women of the Year Award, or Women Player of the Year Award. Matthew Sutherland, as you alluded to, won the Men's Player of the Year Award. And the accomplishments are, you know, one thing, but talking to these two young people and getting their views on life is just as important to me. And they both come from highly pedigreed golf families as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They're just great young people on and off the course.
Rusty Seymour will end the show for us tonight. Rusty is the former general manager at El Macero, who's moved on to a position outside of golf at this point, but keeping his foot in it, he is going to be involved in a 100-hole marathon fundraiser for Youth on Course. And Youth on Course is an incredible organization which basically allows juniors to play for $5, and all of that is subsidized by the organization. So it's a remarkable way to get juniors involved in the game.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I'm going to ask Rusty if he's going to break Shim's record for the best score for 100 holes.
I think if you tell Rusty what Shim's record was, Rusty's eyes will pop out and he might decide not to do it. We have that and a whole lot more coming up on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
You're listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. I'd like to welcome in Mr. Larry Glassmeyer. Larry is a member of the Sacramento Golf Council, and Larry and I met a few weeks ago and started talking about their event, which happened on Monday this week. First ever Sacramento Golf Council Player of the Year Awards. And Larry, I thought it was a really, really exciting evening, and you guys should all be proud.
Thank you. I agree with you. It was a wonderful evening. It was great to hear from the three of the four players. One of the players had a class at Sac State, couldn't make it, but her parents were there representing her. And yeah, it was a wonderful evening, and hopefully there'll be many more to come.
Larry, let's explain to people, what is the Sacramento Golf Council and how long has it been around?
Well, I believe since around the early 1950s, the Sacramento, I have been involved since about 2010 as a member. It's an organization that runs competitive amateur golf tournaments for men, women, seniors, mixed team events. During every year, we have about 24 different tournaments that we run, including five junior events. So one of our goals with our adult tournaments is to contribute enough to the council, either through donations from the tournament players or through proceeds from those adult tournaments that we then turn back into our junior events to either kind of offset some of the cost of tee prizes for the juniors, provide occasional scholarships for junior golfers. And then throughout the year, over the last 3 or 4 years, we've been able to probably distribute somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000 to $12,000 in scholarships to junior golfers at the end of each season.
And it's a remarkable organization that's run strictly by volunteers, correct?
That is correct. Nobody in our organization is paid. We all contribute our time, our energy. We have approximately, I think, about 24 members on the council right now. We could have more. And we're always looking for people who are interested in giving of their time and energy to support the programs that we offer.
So what, if people wanted to volunteer for the Golf Council, what would they be expected to do? I mean, what would the, you know, sort of typical things be that they would do during the year?
Typically, as a new member of the council, we would hook you up with one of our tournament directors to kind of shadow that individual and learn how to run a tournament. And be prepared perhaps to take over that tournament, maybe from that director, or perhaps one of our other tournaments where one of our directors is retiring or wants to take on a different role. So that's one expectation. And then we also would expect the council members to volunteer for anywhere from 3 to 4 tournaments a year to help out with starters on the first tee, spotting on different holes, driving around the course with a water bucket on the back of your cart to supply water. And that's particularly important during the hot summers in Sacramento.
Boy, and we have had one this year too. And
yes.
I think of the State Fair Championship and what went on in that one, boy. Hats off to all the volunteers. Yeah. The one thing that I noticed, at the event, the Player of the Year Awards, was that, but everybody seemed really committed to the organization. Everybody has a deep love for the game. People have played it at various levels over the years. Some probably have never even played the game, but you know, but just like being involved with it. But you know, Scott, to be there in the middle of all of that, and then to recognize 4 people in the first ever Player of the Year Awards was really pretty exciting. I'm sorry you weren't able to make it with us.
Yeah, I wish I could have been there, Frank. It's obviously just a great event and such a great cause. And Larry, thank you for all you do and with everybody who volunteers their time for this. And obviously you get to get exposed to a lot of people in our community. And I think one thing, you know, point out is just the quality of how great the golf is too, which is, you know, yeah, can't go without being said when you've got a Sutherland, you know, being named Player of the Year. And we know the lineage that Matthew has with Kevin and David, and certainly with the State Fair Men's Championship with Jaden Dumdamaya, who is destined for great things. I mean, you're volunteering, but you're also seeing some really tremendous golf at the youth level.
Very, very true. And I can attest to that myself because I ran a junior event for about 10 years, the State Fair Junior Championship in August every year, the week before the big State Fair Championship. And we've had Cameron Champ as one of our past champions. Bryson DeChambeau has played in a number of our junior events. I can count others, but those two, Austin Smotherman is another one who's mm-hmm. currently on the PGA Tour. So it's a joy to be able to see them blossom, have good college careers, and then come out and make it on the tour.
One of the things that was really exciting is not only, and you know, you wouldn't classify Sienna or Matthew as junior players anymore. They're both playing in college, but to see the span of ages, you know, from those two in their college careers to someone like Jeff Berta, who's been playing for so many years and is the super senior player of the year. But you know, they all seem to have a thread that runs through them that that, you know, is a passion for the game. It's a willingness to do the right thing. It's all of the things that we love about the game of golf. And it was exciting to listen to them all kind of talk about why they play the game and how they feel about the award.
Absolutely. And it was very gratifying as a member of the Golf Council to hear their comments about how important the council has been in terms of the tournament offerings that those players have had to participate in and to keep them competitive. And that was wonderful to hear. It's very
Scott, I had sort of planned to throw some questions at them when they came up, figuring, you know, maybe they, you know, first time out, who knows, they wouldn't be prepared with a statement or anything. And I was sort of politely pushed aside while they made these statements. And as I alluded to, they were just great. And Sienna wasn't able to make it because she was in class, but her dad, Keith, read a statement from her and talked about how gratifying it was for him as a parent, a PGA Teacher of the Year a couple of times, nationally recognized. Her mom is the women's coach at Sac State and played on the tour a couple of years. And to watch their daughter, whose name is now the absolutely first name on this awards panel, was pretty exciting, I thought.
Yes,
it's absolutely amazing. I'm just curious, how many volunteers over the course of all the events are we talking about here?
Well, we have about 24 Golf Council members.
Yep.
And then we have a cadre of other individuals, rules officials that help out from time to time that are NCGA certified. Just people who like to volunteer and help out at golf tournaments. They're not interested in the kind of the long-term commitment that there is involved as being a member of the council. So, you know, you can say probably 30 to 35 individuals over the course of a season that have volunteered for at least one tournament, and most of them many more than one tournament.
That's awesome. If somebody's listening to the interview and they want to get involved, what's the best way to do it?
Well, they can go to our website, sacgolfcouncil.org, and there's a volunteer link on that. They can express their interest in just being a volunteer, and we put them on a list, or they can apply to be a member of the council. There is a form that they can download and complete, and then submit that to our president, Janice Lewis, currently president, and then we will evaluate their credentials, interview them, recommend them to be members of the council. So that's where I would point people.
Yeah, and I think it has to be said too, obviously the contribution of the local courses with the Morton family and them making the courses available and the county courses as well to put this all together, couldn't be done without it.
Absolutely. They're our partners in making this all happen, for sure.
You know, Scott, I have to admit that I didn't know much about the Golf Council. And I mean, I knew they existed. I knew they were there for the benefit of the game. But Ken Morton Sr. kind of spoke a little bit last night about the history of golf in Sacramento and what the Golf Council has meant over the years. And it really filled in the story. There's a rich history of golf in Sacramento that had in the early days, you know, they didn't have the numbers of the great golfers that we have now. I think Ken alluded to the fact that there were, you know, four or five, 20 years ago, four or five juniors that really were, you know, ready to go out and make the next level. And he says now, excuse me, he says we probably got more like about 50 right now. Huge difference. Yeah.
It's amazing how the game has grown, you know, and it's just great to see it at such a local level like this, Larry.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can talk about the first tee of Greater Sacramento, which is also
sure.
Sort of a partner with us. They publicize our events, the junior events. And if there's a particular junior individual that may have some financial issues and can't pay entry fees, they might recommend us to scholarship that player for a particular event. So they're a very good partner along with our organization.
You know, I'm glad Scott asked the question, how does someone get involved? Let's take the question just a little bit differently, Larry. There are people out there that, you know, that maybe don't even play the game or you know, have no understanding of what the Golf Council was. Convince them why they should volunteer and what they'll do to help the organization.
Well, having run this junior event that I mentioned earlier, I've been in touch over the years with friends of mine and encouraged them. People who I know like the game, are players and enjoy the game. But it's particular for the junior events when you see these young kids out there pushing these giant golf bags, and they basically stand maybe as high as the golf bag itself, and they're pushing this bag around and nobody's caddying for them, and they're playing at the age of starting at the age of seven is when we have players. It's just amazing to see how committed the young people are and how excited they are when they get any kind of an award. It's very gratifying just to be out there among the beautiful scenery of any of the public golf courses that we have in town. And if you're not interested in the juniors, you can participate and involve yourself with some of the other events where we have adult players who are very top-notch adult amateurs in the area and some out of the area, anywhere in Northern California. State Fair Championship draws from pretty much all over the Western United States. So it's just it's a fun activity. I would encourage anybody that has any interest in golf at all to maybe think about being a volunteer.
I think you've sold it. Sacramento Golf Council, check out the website. There's lots of things to do. Larry Glassmeyer, a member of the board. And Larry, thanks so much, not only for being on the show, but for everything the Golf Council does for golf in Sacramento and Northern California, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Frank and Scott.
Yep, Larry, great to meet you.
You too.
We'll be back for more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa. Really excited to welcome Sienna Lyford, the SAC Golf Council's Woman Player of the Year, along with Matthew Sutherland. He is the SAC Golf Council Men's Player of the Year. And they just both won those awards, or were awarded the awards just this week. And so it's still fresh in their minds. Welcome to both of you, and congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Sienna was not able to make the awards. She was in class, I guess. And, you know, your dad did Keith Lyford, who is a nationally known a teacher, did a great job of accepting for you. We missed you, but he, you know, he filled in pretty good.
Yep, definitely wish I could have been there.
Tell us, Sienna, how you got started in the game. I mean, your dad, as I mentioned, is a PGA professional, and your mom, you know, apparently played on tour a couple of years and is now a coach at the Sac State women's team where you're playing now. But when did you first put a club in your hand, and what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, golf's always been around, but my parents never really pushed me to play. They tried that with my older sister, and it really didn't work out. So I played a lot of other sports growing up, but when I was, I think, 10 years old, one of my friends from school was signing up for a junior golf league, and they just asked if I wanted to do it too. And somehow it stuck, and I kept playing since then.
Boy, it sure did stick. Matthew, you know, your dad, as I alluded to, David Sutherland, who is the coach, I guess it's the coach of the Sac State women's golf team, and played on tour for a number of years. Your uncle is Kevin Sutherland, who continues to play on the Champions Tour. How did you get your start? You know, was it watching them getting excited, or where did that come from?
I mean, it's always been a part of my life ever since I was a kid. Like, there's videos and pictures of me out on tour with my dad playing, or, you know, just fooling around with him. So I've always been out at the golf course, but yeah, my dad made it a point where it was not pushed on me either. It was the same thing. I played baseball all the way up until I was in middle school. And I also played golf as well. But around my freshman year, eighth grade year, I kind of realized that I wanted to actually pursue golf. I realized the benefit of the game. And I think I had like one round where I'd made a couple birdies or something like that. And I was like, this is really cool. I want to do this again. So and then from there on, I kind of stuck with it, and I didn't do anything else in high school. And but yeah, I think it was, you know, I came around the game kind of on my own terms, like I did it myself. And so I think I was able to appreciate it from a better perspective, I guess.
You know, Sienna, I asked your dad the other night who was, you know, who should we congratulate for your success? Would it be him or your mom? And his answer was really quite good. He said that he felt that he was the swing coach, and your mom really helped you more with the mental game and kind of dealing with what the game is all about. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in very good hands with both of them, and my dad's definitely the strategic guy. He's the technical guy. So if I have any swing fix, he's the one I go to. But my mom gives me a lot of balance in my life too. It's not all golf all the time, which is super important. And on the golf course, if she's caddying for me, she's very calming. And sometimes that's exactly what I need.
Yeah, they both mentioned that how much they enjoy caddying for you. Matthew, has your dad carried your bag as well?
Yeah. My dad's carried my bag ever since I started playing tournaments that could carry my bag, or that they would let me have a caddy. Yeah, my dad's he's a great caddy. He's caddied in U.S. Opens before for Kevin and stuff. So he's very professional with how he caddies, and so that's nice. And then he's obviously tremendously talented at club selection, and he's a good green reader. So there's a lot of like technical, physical skills that he's very good at with as a caddy. And then it's also fun and enjoyable for me to go and travel and spend time with him, just as my dad too. Because when he caddies for me in some of these events, like he caddied for me last year in the U.S. Amateur at Oakmont. He caddied for me this summer at a tournament called the Dogwood in Atlanta. So we were able to go and travel together, and it's you know, we're spending time on the golf course, but then we're also spending a lot of time off the golf course. So that's by far the most enjoyable part of him caddying for me, is being able to go have fun off the course with him.
You know, I remember David doing a little clinic out at Hagen Oaks a number of years back, and he was on the first tee, and he called the shot that he was going to hit it over, draw it over this really tall tree on the left side. But, you know, just to make it more interesting for us, he was going to do it with a 3, 6, and 9 iron, and he hit the same shot with those clubs. And ever since then, I've just been fascinated with the difference in a tour player's game and you know, and my sort of weekend antics. What's the best piece of advice either of your parents gave to you, Sienna, either your dad or your mom?
Just to stay patient. I tend to be very hard on myself. I expect results to follow immediately, and sometimes that's not always the case, but they're always very encouraging that results will follow eventually. They don't have to happen right away, but as long as you're working hard, it'll come. And they've been in the same position as me since they've both played a lot of golf in their life, so their advice means a lot to me.
Sure, I can imagine. And that's what a great piece of advice. For us weekend amateurs as well. I mean, I play with some people that, you know, will get really upset after a bad shot, and the way we try and calm them down is to let them know they're not good enough to get that upset. But you're playing at a different level. Matthew, what kind of advice not even your dad, what's the best piece of advice you've just ever gotten?
I mean, my dad's always, I mean, I'm so blessed and so grateful to have two tremendous figures in my life, with my dad and my uncle, to help me through my golf career and my golf journey. And so, I mean, they're constantly, I can ask them any sort of question and they constantly, and they will always have a good answer for me, which is great. But I think one thing that my dad's always told me is don't be in a hurry to fix your problems. Kind of similar to what Sienna's talking about. And I think there's some truth to that when, you know, you have a lot of people in the game of golf telling you that, because it's so true. I think oftentimes as golfers, we're really quick to try to see results, or we're really quick to try to fix one of our issues without properly kind of understanding it and working through it. And often, like, I mean, we talk about bad habits, usually those come from trying to fix a problem too quick. So I'd say that. And then, I mean, at the end, I mean, like I ask my dad and my uncle questions all the time. So I don't know if I could give, you know, their best piece of advice, because they're giving great advice every week for me.
You know, Sienna was, we were emailing back and forth and setting this up, and I noticed she said, well, let me send this to Matthew and so on and so forth. How much support do you get from your own peers, you know, from people your own age? I mean, obviously you have known each other and, you know, maybe have faced the same kinds of questions.
Yeah. I mean, I've known Matthew for a really long time, especially since now my mom works with his dad. So it's pretty cool seeing us, you know, here now, both getting the award at the same year. But I don't think either of us would be where we are now without not only the support, but also just like such strong peers that we're competing against, because at least for me, they really push me to keep working hard every day.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I can remember, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years ago, working up at Old Greenwood with Sienna, or at Whitney Oaks practicing and stuff like that, and having chipping contests and all that. So that's always fun. But yeah, I mean, I'm so inspired by my teammates, and you know, the Sac City Golf Council. I mean, they're truly inspiring. And the First Tee, and all these different people that are a part of our lives growing up, instilling us with good core values and kind of an understanding of how to conduct ourselves on the golf course. So I think, yeah, that's, you know, in terms of peers, like that also includes the people that are a part of the golf industry in Sacramento and in Fresno for me and our team, our coaches. So yeah, I definitely think that they've been tremendously beneficial for myself.
Again, Matthew Sutherland is the Sacramento Golf Council Player of the Year. You competed in 3 of the 4 points events. You finished second in the Sacramento County Men's Am, tied for third in both the Memorial and the State Fair Championship. And you're entering your junior year at Fresno. One of the statistics I thought was really fascinating: in your sophomore year, you played in all 10 tournaments with a team leading scoring average of 71.77. That's remarkable scoring there.
Thank you. Yeah.
And Sienna, you competed in 2 of the 4 events in the tournaments, and you won both the Sacramento County Women's and the State Fair Women's. You graduated from UC Irvine in 2022, but you played on the women's golf team for 3 years. And as you mentioned, you're currently enrolled at Sac State in an MBA program and playing with and a remaining year of eligibility. What? You know, when you saw the trophies with your names, the absolute first names on there, I mean, this is the first time that this has ever been awarded by the Sacramento Golf Council, and forever, you know, Sienna Lyford and Matthew Sutherland will be the first names on those trophies. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The trophies that I won from like the State Fair, those are some trophies that have been around for a long time, and you see all the names on there. And I can imagine that this award is going to be around for a long time as well, and will have a lot of history. So being the first name on that trophy is a pretty special thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely different, because I'm used to, if I were to win something or receive an award, usually there's a list of people that have done it before you. And so that is an aspect of winning something that's cool, is you get to look back and see the history of the tournament or the award. But now I think it's cool, because now me and Sienna get to start a new tradition and start new history with Sacramento golf. And so I'm honored to be a part of that, and I'm happy to see how things go moving forward.
And there's no reason to believe that you won't have your names on there again. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you play golf, you practice a little bit, you go to school, you have a couple of classes. I mean, some would say, gee, what an easy life it is. And we were kind of talking earlier about tests you have to take and balancing, you know, life and school and golf. It's not as easy and maybe even probably not as fun and sometimes as we would think.
Yeah, I mean, balancing it all is tough. Last week we were on the road playing a tournament in Virginia, and I had a makeup test to do on Wednesday. I had class on Wednesday night, and this was all following, you know, our practice round when you're already tired from playing 18 holes and then you have to go home and get on your laptop and do some schoolwork. There's not a lot of time for life outside of golf and school, but it is what we signed up for. I feel very lucky though to, you know, have this opportunity to play golf. I wouldn't want it any other way, but it is sometimes difficult to balance.
Yeah, totally. It sucks when you, I had last February or March, I had a big report due in one of my classes, and I was at Bandon Dunes, and I couldn't find any Wi-Fi in the hotel. So I had to go like across the street to a different hotel to type up my thing. And I submitted it like 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and then had an 8 a.m. shotgun the next day. So there's definitely some challenges to it, but I mean, I'm so grateful to be able to play college golf, and it definitely, I mean, it's tough, but it has definitely kind of changed the way that I approach golf. And I'm grateful to have the time that I have on the golf course. And it also motivates me to get up and work hard at it every day. Cause it kind of becomes, I think, you know, golf is definitely a recreational, enjoyable sport. But when sometimes you got to go out, if you want to pursue it professionally, sometimes you got to go out and, you know, go to the gym or go to the range when maybe you don't really want to, cause you're not feeling it. So I think college golf definitely kind of instills that work ethic in you. And I think it's good. I think it's overall good. It's pushed me to become better both in school and on the golf course.
Matthew, the other night when we talked, you said that you have aspirations to play professionally someday. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not terribly difficult. All you do is graduate and then say that you're professional. So I would love, I mean, that's absolutely in the plans. Whether or not I make it to the PGA Tour or wherever my final destination is kind of up to the heavens. So I don't know. I'm going to go and kind of give it everything that I got. You know, I think one thing that I've had to work on is I'm trying to become better with the idea of, you know, wherever my life goes is where it goes. And I just need to be, you know, okay with giving whatever I'm doing, I got to give it 100%. And so I think, you know, that's my main goal, kind of wherever life takes me is where I'll end up.
How about you, Sienna?
Personally, playing professionally is not, I don't think, going to be the future for me. Mm-hmm. I love golf, but for me, I think playing professionally would be a lot of pressure that might ruin the fun for me. So I'll definitely continue to play competitive amateur golf after I graduate, but I'm going to have to do the 9-to-5 grind.
Oh, I love the word fun, you know, because when I talk about golf, I keep trying to remind people that it is a game, and at its core, that's what it is. You know, the competition can certainly confuse that issue a little bit at times, I suppose, unless you're making eagles one after another. But you know, I think whatever either of you do, you know, your parents will be proud, your communities will be proud, your schools will be proud. I mean, you're going to take these awards home with you. And as I said, they can never take this away. You're the first ever. Sienna Lyford, the Sacramento Golf Council 2022 Woman Player of the Year, and Matthew Sutherland, the 2022 Men's Player of the Year. Congratulations to both of you. I thank you both for being with us here on Golf to Go, and wish you nothing but great success.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back with more right after this on the Golf to Go Radio Hour.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Welcome into the Golf to Go Radio Hour. I am Frank LaRosa on Sacktown Sports 1140. My buddy Scott Marsh is sitting beside, and we are welcoming another old friend of the show. Scott, it seems like every guest is an old friend of the show. I kind of like that, you know, and I think, again, as we've said before, that's part of what the golf business is all about. You make friends, and they stay that way for a long time.
I like it, but of course, the converse of that, it just means we're old. So I'm not sure if that's great or not. But
let's try
long time friend
Rusty Seymour. Rusty, oh gosh, I've known Rusty 15 years, I guess. And Rusty, originally I met when he was the head golf professional over at Yochadihi, and he was one of the most popular guys in Northern California because everybody wanted to find a way to get on that course for free. Call Rusty, they say. And, you know, I think once you left that, that was a good thing not to have anymore. Rusty moved on over to be the general manager at El Macero Country Club, and did a spectacular job there. But Rusty, you've decided that you're going to make a little change in your life. And after being in the golf business for 27 years, you're setting out on another venture.
Yeah, it's it was a hard decision to make, but felt like it was a good time in my career to make a change. And it was sad to leave the golf business, but I'm, you know, moving into financial advising with Edward Jones. So I'm in the middle of getting licensed, and we'll hopefully be ready to go in January for my new adventure. But a lot of the same type of similarities being in the golf business is, you know, relationship building, and that's where I feel like I thrive. And so it would just be a matter of building relationships instead of in the golf business, just in the financial world.
You know, it's when you sever relationships or move on, you know, sometimes they can be, with a little bit of, don't let the door bang in on the butt on the way out. But the El Macero members threw a nice going away party for you. Everybody was really a little disappointed to see you go, but certainly very thrilled for you in your new career objectives. But you left El Macero in a pretty good place. You came in certainly way before the pandemic, and that kind of changed how people approach the game of golf. And certainly for private clubs, it helped pump up the amount of members coming in to play the game.
Yeah, no, El Macero was a special place, and it still is. And I mean, the members there are just phenomenal, and that's what it made it harder to leave. But yeah, the pandemic, I mean, just, you know, set record rounds as it did in most golf courses. And we got to a wait list for membership, which hadn't happened in, 25 years. I mean, just amazing growth of the game. And, I feel like, with, COVID somewhat over, I think rounds have already started to stabilize and kind of come down a little bit, which I think is okay from the wear and tear of the golf courses. And a lot of people also just trying to get access to tee times makes it a little bit easier to get tee times with things stabilizing. But I still think the future is bright in the game, thanks to the pandemic. So looking good out there.
Tiger Woods certainly made a huge impact when he came into the game, but the amount of players coming in during the pandemic outperformed those numbers even. And people were really excited. It was an opportunity to play the game in a socially distant way. And for all those reasons, it was, well, let me give it a try. And as as we see with most people that try the game of golf, it's sort of love at first sight. It's frustrating, and it's a hard game to learn, but the commitment to making yourself better is, runs throughout all of us.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing to see at El Macero specifically, during the pandemic, I mean, the amount of social members that, decided to give golf a little bit more time in their lives and decided to upgrade their memberships to full on family proprietary memberships. And they're just loving it. So it just, some people you thought would never even be golfing all of a sudden, or golfing, you know, 2-3 times a week now. So that's what it's all about.
It's certainly hard without a crystal ball that actually works. But look at 5-10 years down the road. What do you see for the game of golf?
I still think it's really strong, and will be even 5-10 years down the road. You know, and that's why it's important to keep getting, as we'll talk here in a few minutes, about just getting your kids involved in the game, and, you know, not just from being a sport, but just from life lessons. And that's what I've always loved about the game of golf, is etiquette and being nice to your playing competitors. So it's just an overall good, you know, game to have in everybody's lives. But I think just with some of the young talent coming in from the PGA Tour, I mean, the President's Cup was, I thought, still really exciting, even though the U.S. somewhat dominated. But you see some of these new up and coming talent, and I think some of those guys are going to carry the torch to keep the game of golf alive.
Scott, we've had the good fortune to talk to some great juniors and to talk about their accomplishments in the last couple of months on this show. And Jaden Dumdumaya, you know, certainly comes to mind. But I think we would agree with Rusty that junior golf is what will continue to, you know, to feed the funnel and give us the players we need to keep the game alive and well.
No doubt. And, you know, with organizations like the First Tee, you can see how strong it is and what the commitment is, and just the outreach. Great. There's so many different communities, and exposing the game to so many people, I think, is awesome. And Rusty, you talked about your commitment with your kids, and your son recently played in a golf tournament, I know, at Hagen Oaks as well. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was his first ever golf tournament. We signed him up through the U.S. Kids Golf Tour. And I was probably more nervous than he was.
were you his caddy, or how did that
work?
Yeah,
I was his caddy. And I mean, he was playing with kids the same age, but just hit it a lot further than him. And the thing I was most proud about him is just, you know, playing with two better golfers for your first tournament, how he didn't get, you know, sad or mad or any of that. He just went out and had a good time, and we signed him up for another one here in a few weeks. So he's loving it.
That's fantastic. Did you give him some good advice in the bag, or how did that work?
I tried. He's already to the point where he's 7 years old, but you know, he has a hard time listening to me sometimes, so I just let him do his own thing.
Yeah, well, I had another friend whose kid played in that, and it's to the point now he's 12 and he can't be the caddy anymore because it's just too toxic. They cannot relate on the golf course.
Yeah, I can see that happening, but he hasn't kicked me off his back yet. So
okay.
You know, you're keeping one foot in golf, at least right now. You've got a fundraiser that you're involved in, and it's for an organization called Youth on Course. And it's a remarkable organization that's been around a number of years now, and it's based out of Monterey, I think. But Rusty, tell us a little bit about Youth on Course and what it does for juniors.
Yeah, I mean, it's a phenomenal program. I was first introduced to them when I was at Yochidihi. You know, it's through the NCGA, and it's a program that you know, sign up juniors part of, and they have access to 1,800 courses around the nation to play for only $5. And so really the program Youth on Course is set up to subsidize their rounds of golf so that they can only pay $5. And then the Youth on Course subsidizes kind of the more of that green fee to each of the courses. But there's 140,000 Youth on Course members now. This past July, they hit their 2 millionth round played, which is pretty impressive. And besides just the access to the courses, you know, there's scholarship opportunities down the road as you get a little older to apply for scholarships. There's internship programs available at courses. Courses can sign up to have interns come and work there. So it's just a way to give youth and juniors access to both play and even, you know, work in the golf industry, which is what it's all about. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the list of golf courses is really impressive. I mean, they're you know, up and down Northern California, and as you say, across the country, it's now available. They pay $5 a green fee, but they're playing with an adult. Isn't that part of the process?
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessary. Juniors can just play by themselves.
Oh, that's great. Know?
Yeah, I know that. And it's only $25 to sign up to be part of the program. And part of that is they get automatically, you know, signed up for a handicap through the USGA, you know, which that usually costs, you know, more than that based on where you are. So great value there besides then getting your $5 green fees throughout the year.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm on the website. It's the number 100holehike.org. And then you can just literally search for your name, which I did. You're almost halfway to your goal, which is fantastic. And
yeah,
just talk about 100 holes. I mean, that seems literally impossible.
Well, luckily, you know, the one I'm signed up for is at the, you know, which I'm looking forward to playing is the Hay down at Pebble Beach, the par 3 course.
And okay,
two reasons I'm excited is A, it's a par 3 course.
Yes.
and B, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it just looks like a phenomenal course. And yeah, so participating in that, my goal is to raise $10,000, which all that goes to Youth on Course. I'm approaching halfway. My play date is October 17th, so I only have a few weeks left to go to get up to that 10,000 mark. So thank you in advance for your donations. But yeah, as Scott said, if you go to 100milehike.org and then in the upper right-hand corner, you type in my name, which is Rusty Seymour, S-E-Y-M-O-U-R, and my page will come right up and you can donate from there.
And everything's 100% tax deductible, of course. So you will have played the Hay 11 times and you're going to have to tee off on number one to finish off the round.
Yep. Yeah. And the other good part about it is, I mean, it's still going to be, you know, walking quite a bit, but I can't imagine doing the 100 hole hike on a regular 18 hole golf course. That would put on a lot more miles, but at least I only have to carry a few clubs with me versus a full bag. So that'll help my, feet condition at the end of the day.
All right. I got a score in mind. Is that real quickly? I was curious. Like,
what's that?
You have a score in mind? What you're shooting for?
I haven't even thought about it yet, but I will right. I will have some goals in place by the time it's showtime.
All right. We might need a side bet on that.
Okay.
For some extra donations.
Perfect.
I will tell you, I've played 100 holes on a regulation course twice now.
Wow.
We did start at 6:30 in the morning, but we got it done. I just think this is a lot of fun, and it's 100holehike.org. Look for Rusty Seymour. Rusty, continued success in your new venture, and we're glad you're still got your foot in the golf world with this fundraiser. We wish you great success.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, gentlemen, and another longtime old friend here.
Thanks very much to Rusty Seymour and all our guests this evening. Great representation of golf in Northern California. For Scott Marsh, I'm Frank LaRosa. That wraps another Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. Look for us next week.